Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Very well.
Test, test. Whoa. Test, test. Hello. I know.
Hello.
Very well.
Very well.
Oh, I forgot you gotta talk into this.
No.
Right?
No.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
What?
What? Oh, Darla's here. Ruffles here. Whoa. Great point, Dana. Whoa.
I didn't even have to
great
say
great point, Dana.
And I made a good point.
We can make our own soundboard.
Whoa. Woo!
Great point, Dana. Just whenever you need to hit that. Do you want to make one? Okay, ready? When it turns like steady purple, it'll be recording you.
I don't know what I want to say, though.
What's like a good reaction? An emote.
Rock chalk, baby.
All right, here you go. Ready?
Rock chalk, baby. Rock chalk, baby.
That's great. That's what we need. I don't know about that. Well, there you go. These are just...
Well...
I don't know about that. That'll just be just stock responses. Well, there you go. Yeah, this is great.
Well, there you go. Ope.
Yeah, ope would be a good one.
Ope.
Do you want to make an ope one? Okay, ready?
Ope. Ope.
Ope. Just so everybody knows, we're a Midwestern podcast.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Great point, Dana. I just have that whenever I want it. All right, cool. Welcome back.
I like this first 4 minutes.
I know. Who knows what it'll actually make it, but welcome back to Continuing
welcome
Conversations.
Back.
I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And here we are. We're trying the soundboard one more time. I think we're almost
there's
done
a
with this soundboard.
Curve
there's
to
a learning
it.
Curve to it. I still don't think we sound great. It doesn't sound bad, though.
I can hear the little fuzz. That
you can hear the little fuzz in there. It's not great.
I put my headphones on today. Ope.
Ope. Ope. Rock chalk, baby.
Rock chalk, baby.
Yeah, perfect. This is great. We have this soundboard now. We can call
that's
it.
That's what we want from the soundboard.
Uh-huh. So I don't know. Maybe we'll keep the soundboard, but... So today we're going to be talking about our text from the 12th Sunday of Pentecost, which was August 31st, believe it or not, still in August.
Crazy.
The 5th Sunday of August, wild stuff. And the text for the day was Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And we also had a New Testament reading, Hebrews 13, 1 through 16 mm-hmm. as well. A couple of long readings for this Sunday, but it was good. It was actually the perfect Sunday because this is a Sunday where we wanted to introduce the fact that we are adding communion into every Sunday. We used to do... Ooh.
Rock chalk, baby.
It's rock chalk communion. It's great. We used to do communion the first and third Sunday of every month, and we're switching to an every Sunday type of thing, with the first and third being full communion, the second and fourth, while still full communion. I should say full communion, because that's another like theological issue. But it's communion via intinction.
Yeah.
It's not
it's communion.
The communion of one kind, which was... That's a whole nother debate we don't need to get into. But so in order to introduce this, we thought it would be nice to have a Sunday where the preaching focused on why communion is important and what communion is for. Mm-hmm. And it happened to fall on this Sunday when Jesus is talking about what to do when you get invited to a banquet. And it's kind of on its surface, it seems like an etiquette sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's more to it than that, of course.
Yeah.
We get to it. Mm-hmm. Do we want to dive right in? Do you have a reality show talk that we need to get out of the way?
No, because I'm still watching. The Summer I Turned Pretty is every Wednesday.
Okay.
So there's a new episode
still going?
Tonight.
Summer I Turned Pretty?
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
And it's still going?
Well,
because it is September. Is there a follow-up show? The Autumn I Turned
the
Contemplative.
The autumn I turned back ugly.
Yeah, I turned ugly again. Or
turned ugly.
I'd like the autumn I learned my worth. Wouldn't that be something?
This is a sermon series.
The redemption arc. Yeah, really. Maybe that's what we do. The autumn I learned my worth.
The autumn I
don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. People have been using that phrase like the... Oh, sorry.
What's this?
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Oh.
The problem is that we need to label these now so we know what they are, or else it's going to be... I'm going to hit the wrong one at the wrong time.
I know which ones are mine.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
See, you knew which one
I knew that. Actually, I didn't. I just hit that one at random.
Oh. It worked.
It did. It worked great.
Yeah, people have kind of been using that phrase of, like, the summer
Yeah.
Learned how to fish. I don't know.
It was like, funny. Last summer was brat summer, and everything
and
was that neon green.
Feminine nominon.
That's right.
yes, and the green.
And the green. I felt like last summer had a vibe. This summer, really not a lot of vibe going on. People have been calling it a bummer summer. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, it's that that Jet 2 holiday.
Summer? Oh, yeah.
It's been this, like, everything you see this summer is that, you know, Jet 2 holiday meme where people are just falling on their face on one of those, like, artificial surfing machines or a zip line or something. And people are connecting this to the fact that it doesn't seem like this summer had a thing. What was the thing this summer, you know?
Yeah.
What was the Eras tour of this summer?
Right.
Yeah.
The Eras tour wasn't
I felt
on.
Like
there wasn't good music.
There was no song of the summer.
Sabrina Carpenter just released a new album.
Yeah.
It was
and
fine.
It's very poppy and bright, but it's like it's kind of too late because it's September. I'm trying to wear a cable knit sweater and get in my feelings.
It's going to be the autumn of Taylor Swift again.
Yeah, I guess so.
In a month.
In a month. She's got her new album coming out.
We got that coming out. Justin Bieber had a new album this summer that was really good.
Just a Bieber?
Just.
I told you that story.
I know.
So we were up at the cabin, and when we're up north, we always listen to 106.7 WJJY. I love WJJY. It's like 80s, 90s, and today music.
That's what they say, isn't
80s,
it?
90s, and today, which is funny because 80s, 90s, and today used to make sense when it was 2005 or whatever, but... Now it's like
the
80s, 90s, and today you're skipping
40 and 30 years ago.
Yeah, you're skipping a lot of time. You're skipping like 30 years. So it should be like 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010, and today. But anyway,
80s,
they keep 90s, with it.
Aughts, tens,
it is a
today.
Great it is a great mix of music though.
It is. That
it's
is
a great like there's a lot of throwback, there's some throwback country, but then they mix in some new stuff, including Justin Bieber. Can't remember the name of the song.
Daisies
from the new album which came out, which is a good song. It's a certified bop, I would say.
Oh,
Rock Chalk. Oh, now it's not gonna do it.
Rock Chalk, baby.
Rock Chalk, baby. I don't know why that doesn't really fit, but still. So we were listening to that song on WJJY, and I was like, oh man, Justin Bieber. And Rhodes was like, just a beaver. My son thought it was just a beaver who were singing that song. I wish I would have caught that up.
I know.
That
could have
gone viral.
That
could have been something.
You guys can recreate that. We'll to do that. Just a beaver?
Just a beaver? So, yeah, there's been some music, but it's not really like summer specific. Because if it's going to be the song of the summer, it needs to come out like in the spring.
Kind of.
So you can, you know, it can go the whole summer. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just people being
I'm trying to
dramatic.
Think I don't know.
It seemed like there was no vibe this summer.
It was the summer I turned pretty summer.
It was the summer I turned pretty summer. I'm not
in
it, no. I did not watch the show.
It started tonight. Today is episode 9.
Hmm.
So it's been 9 weeks.
How many episodes are there going to be?
11? 10 or 11? There's 2 more weeks.
All right. We'll see. Time will tell.
Because next week. My friends watch every Wednesday.
Yeah, and you're in a text group
and,
about it.
Well, I'm in a text group about it. So we like FaceTime, we start it, and then we all hang up the FaceTime and just text while the show goes. And then, you know, we're on Amazon Prime, so we have ads. Rude.
Right.
So every
do they line
ad,
up?
No.
Yeah,
we
that's
have
the
to,
problem.
We have to re-FaceTime and like recalibrate our synchronicity. Synchronicity.
Yes, what you said.
Oh. I thought you were going to say, that's a good point, Dana.
Oh.
Whoa. Great point, Dana.
Great point, Dana.
Synchronicity.
Yes, synchronicity. Whatever you said.
Synchronicity. And oh my, we make fun of each other because some people have like 2-minute ads and some people have like 15-second ads, and we're
like,
you
would think?
I said it would line up. I ordered from Amazon this week. Why don't I have a 15-second ad?
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if there's some like algorithm out there of like,
I don't know,
a bigger shopper gets less ads.
But it depends on the week though too, because like a couple weeks it was, you know, one of our friends Lauren had all the long ads and all of us had short ones, and then the next week she had short ads and all of us had long. We're like, what's going on Amazon?
You would think there would be some uniformity to this sort of thing, but I do miss that. Me and my buddies, we always watched Game of Thrones at the same time when those came out live. Oh, that was electric.
Yep.
What a time to sit. Yep. We're not together, but we're together virtually.
Right.
And anybody who's watched Game of Thrones knows that that show is all about the person you would least expect to die will die.
Yeah.
Like George R.R. Martin has no problem
that's
killing off main characters.
Also. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So it's fun to be in a group and being like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And like you get that reaction because you're in this shared thing together.
Right. Well,
I have the same
thing. We don't have live TV like that anymore. Of
but
like
you can recreate
Tuesdays
it, kind of.
Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're doing is recreating it. But
yeah, I
but
miss that. The only thing
sports
that's...
Sports.
Sports, I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's like that.
Sorry, I took your point.
Oh,
but
good.
Whoa. Great point, Dana.
Yeah,
you're right.
I made the point. Not
you're
you.
Right, me. That is a great point, Dana, because, yeah, sports is the only thing we have left that's like a shared experience we can all do together. It was before my time and your time, of course, too. But like everybody talks about Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And because Johnny Carson was on Monday through Friday at this the late night spot.
Yeah.
But because there were only 5 channels, that was the only thing. Everybody watched it. And everybody I've talked to about this is like, yeah, you had to watch Carson live. So that on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or whatever, you'd have the thing to talk about.
Right.
That like, oh, did you see that? Did you hear that joke? Did you whatever? And everybody had this shared understanding that like this was the thing we watched. Sports is the only thing that seems to do that.
Right.
We're all segmented now into our own little things because there's so many channels. Yeah. And not only are there so many channels, but there's so many streaming services and YouTube.
And people are at different places in the shows. Like, oh,
you can find your little niche
and
just be like, I'm just sticking with my one little thing that I'm fascinated by, which is great that there's content for everybody out there. But I kind of wish that there was more stuff that we could all watch together and bond over. And sports seems to be the only thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, I have enough people in my life who watch sports, though, too.
That's
so
true.
Like,
so you can share
I'm
that
having
with
conversations with people about that, too.
Mm-hmm. And then Summer, I Turned Pretty.
And then Summer, I Turned Pretty.
I did kind of feel a little bit like that with Severance. When Severance was going on,
people
I had a
really
lot of people.
Watching that. Uh-huh.
Because that also came out, like, one night a week. You had, you know, you watch it, and then you can talk to people
I
about it.
I guess that was The White Lotus for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hadn't watched past the first season of White Lotus. But it was good. I know. Maybe I need to get into it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. Should we get into the text?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, my first notes are you started off with talking about the cool kids tables.
Yeah, that was me for sure.
That was me for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the times when I have been at the cool kids tables.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, my friends are the people at the wedding who, like...
Right.
I have a big group of college friends. I've talked about them a lot.
Yep.
We are usually the ones on the dance floor, starting the party. Like, we...
Somebody's
like,
got to do it.
Somebody's got to be the party, guys. So, like, sometimes at weddings, we are the cool kids.
Yeah.
And we're good for that. Like,
we can do it.
You need people to hype it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's our group.
Yep.
So, being in, but I don't know, the sermon obviously wasn't about these people, but but I was like, the times that I've been in those groups and a part of that have been so fun.
Yeah.
And maybe that is kind of the point, that we get caught up in that part of it, of
I
being in the middle of the dance floor and having the most fun.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
I think that's exactly the point.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like, there is an allure to being in the in crowd. And that's what Jesus is warning against.
Right, but I think we read over these passages sometimes and we're like, haha, yeah, the in crowd, stop doing that. And we forget that, like, we are the ones in the in crowd.
Yeah, which is kind of, I got to that eventually towards the end of, like, you know, I don't realize all these places where I do have unseen and unknown, you know, power and privilege in these places. It was actually, I was listening to Sermon Brainwave with Matt Skinner, Rolf Jacobson, and Caroline Lewis.
Oh, shout out.
Great. I love that podcast a lot. If you want to hear some other theologians talking about the text for through the lectionary, they do a really good job. And it was Matt Skinner who was like, who brought up that point of, I go shopping with a bag all the time, and I've never been stopped.
You said that.
And that's why I was like, I need to use that because... Yeah, I do
Matt
too.
I thought Matt Skinner was going to talk about being the cool kid at seminary.
Matt Skinner's always the cool kid.
Matt Skinner is the cool
kid. He
like,
is
the
cool
ultimate
kid.
I used to call him, he very much gives off like Professor Lupin vibe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
From Hogwarts.
Like he's, he's cool and, you
We're
know, he's got all the wisdom.
Matt Skinner will never
But he also
this,
looks
but.
Like he could break it down with the kids. He looks like the type of guy who would spin his chair around. And sit in it backwards and be like,
oh, yeah,
let's rap, kids, you know, giving off that sort of vibe, you know.
He'd rap hey, about the New Testament.
Yeah, you know, yeah, for sure. But anyway, he brought that point up of there are all these places that I don't even think about it. And that's the problem with sort of invisible places of privilege is you don't think about it. And then I sort of expanded that thinking of like, yeah, I can walk down the street any time, day or night. I'm never afraid for my own safety. Yeah. I don't even think about, you know, like, do I have pepper spray? Do I have my keys? You know, what do I do? Like, there are these things that women think about all the time.
Well, okay, I did think about this because my parents are trying to sell their house.
Yeah.
Right? And there was one weekend my mom was gone, so my dad was at home by himself. Mm-hmm. And they were selling all this stuff on Facebook Marketplace. And so people were coming over to get the stuff.
Right.
And in the middle of one of these transactions, some lady comes up and is like, hey, can I look at your backyard? Like, since your house is for sale. My dad's like, sure, want to come in the house?
Yeah, come on
through.
Like,
she was going to kill you.
Yeah, that, she could have killed you, Dad.
She could have killed you.
He's like,
no trace of anyone. Mm-hmm. You're the only one around.
Only
guy
around.
He's like,
yeah, he's like,
never thought about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like, I've watched enough Criminal Minds to know.
To know, like, don't let a strange person
stranger
off the street
just, like,
just
yeah, come in your
walk
house.
Through your home. And
I mean, yeah, it was safe, but that was my first thought.
But it does feel
like,
weird.
That doesn't even.
I sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace sometimes, and I think about that. Mm-hmm. It's so strange that we're like, we've gone from, you know, don't talk to strangers and don't talk to strangers on the internet. Like, I remember that conversation all the time as a kid, and now.
Yeah.
With Facebook Marketplace,
oh, yeah,
it's like, find a stranger on the internet and meet up with them somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like it feels...
Well, this is peek inside the curtain.
Okay.
Online dating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
going
for sure.
on a date, I will text my friends and say, here's my location.
Yeah.
If I
am
kidnapped.
Yeah, share your location. Yeah, here's the
Come
guy's
find
profile.
Me. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and that profile gets sent around many places.
Yeah, it's got you guys do like an FBI level background check. No, for sure, because that's that's another thing. You got to think about these things, but I don't think about them.
Yep.
Almost ever. So, yeah, it's the I've got a backpack on walking through the store.
Yeah.
How come nobody's been like, "What's in your backpack? Are you shoplifting?" Mm-hmm. If I was black, for sure, that would be almost
absolutely.
Every time. I've heard from so many people.
They'd have someone following you. Yeah.
People of color have told me that several times of like, I get followed in stores. Like, and people, they think they're being slick, you know?
Right.
Like, at Target, they don't wear red shirts. They wear like a navy blue or whatever, and their assets management or whatever their title is.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just follow like a couple rows back, but they'll just always be tailing me. And it's like, that is so sad that you get profiled like that. And there's lots of things that we don't think about.
I was thinking, have you watched Scandal?
No.
Because there's a good episode, you know, about, well, a lot of them are about racial profiling,
right?
Because that is a huge issue in Scandal. The main character is a black woman, like,
oh yeah,
happens a lot,
right?
Where a black kid comes out of a store or whatever, just bought a cell phone, and like the police are like, oh, you stole that.
Yeah, you must have stole that. How could you possibly have gotten a new phone?
How could you, purchased that, and they think that he had a weapon on him or whatever, and so they shoot him.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We've all seen the news stories.
This is not just TV.
It happens in real life.
This is actual real life. So, many examples.
We could name lots of names.
So it's this whole, like, episode around that, and,
I also brought up the you know, me and my wife, we can walk down the street hand in hand. Nobody looks at us funny. Speaking of shows that I'm watching, we're still watching 90 Day Fiancé, which often has interracial couples because it's a show about people who are from another country and they're here in America with their K-1 visa to get married so they can get a green card and be a citizen. So they're often interracial couples here. And the hate that they get, the violence that's enacted against them, it's terrible. And it's often a big part of the show is people making comments of, well, don't you think this is kind of wrong what you're doing? And it's like, because we're two different skin color, but people still have those prejudices. Yep. I've never thought about that in my life. I've never had to think about that. And the same would be true if we were a same-sex couple or whatever. These are all places where if you don't have to think about them, if you're one of the people at the pool table, essentially, you can just live the rest of your life completely ignorant of the struggles that other people are going through. Because you're on the in crowd, so what do you care? And that's to the point of what Jesus is saying here in the gospel, which is, as a fellow child of God, and then, you know, as a follower of Christ as well later, it's kind of our job and our duty to be the people who go out and sort of upset the status quo. And how we do this in this parable, Jesus is saying, is when you throw a banquet, go invite the poor, invite the outcasts, invite the strangers, invite those. Don't invite all of your friends and family and people of high status because you're hoping to social climb yourself. You know, go out and invite in the unlovable and heap love upon their heads. That's what we're called to do. And that sort of breaks down all those societal walls. So, kind of an interesting a sermon that when I set out to write it, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say in here. I don't know what any of this has to do with my life at all, because it is kind of it's a gospel lesson that you can sort of ho-hum over of like, okay, I get it, Jesus. You know, don't be a social climber. You know, be kind to other people. Okay, sure. There's not much in there, but when you chew it over, there's a lot in here that can relate to our lives. And I extended it out to the kids who are now starting school just today. Central got back to school. And the kids will be in a place where it is very evident who's in, who's out. School lunchroom is going back to how we kind of started this conversation. Cool kids table, you know, the outcast table. You know, you can look around a lunchroom and you can see clearly, even without being a part of that community. I could walk over across the street to Central today and look in the lunchroom and I could scan the place and I could probably tell you.
Oh, you could.
Absolutely. Yeah, here are the popular kids. Here are the jock kids. Here are the band kids. Here's the you know, sort of misfit kids. And it's sad, but it's like, you wouldn't. One of those outcast kids, if they went to the popular kids table, they would probably get ridiculed. And how does that feel?
I would also argue that there are outcast kids who wouldn't want to be at the popular kid table.
Oh, yeah, they don't want to.
Like, that's not a, I don't know, it's that's not like a social ladder that they want to climb.
No, that's a good point,
And so...
Wait.
Whoa. Great point, Dana.
Whoa.
But it's not something where they want to be them or with them. Like, I think that is a misconception a lot of times about the popular kids.
Oh, they
kids
wish
or
that they were there.
Or the cool kids table.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that they wish they were there. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what Jesus is saying, too. It's that we wish these hierarchies didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like,
we wish that everybody had
that,
a place to belong.
Right. So, like, and wanting to belong is not a bad thing.
No.
Like, you should want to belong because you do.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you've already been in the belonging category.
Right. Yeah.
Just where is that is kind of the place to explore.
Right.
And so
what does that look like and what do those places look like?
Yes, but I don't know. I think when we talk from the place of privilege to think like, everyone wants to be like us.
Doesn't everybody want a piece of this? Yeah, this is all. Like this that, is great.
That
yeah,
creates like, no. a different narrative than what we're actually trying to figure out that Jesus is talking about.
It
too,
could create like a savior complex. I'm going to come down from my ivory tower and invite you up to my ivory tower. Where it's like Jesus would be like, no, let's smash the ivory tower.
Right. Like, this
why do you think you deserve this place of honor? And that's kind of, I think, the point of the Gospels, the lesson that Jesus is teaching here.
Well, and it's let all the high be brought low.
Yeah, exactly.
The mighty be brought down. Yeah. It's not the lowly be brought to where the mighty are.
Yeah.
It's
smashing the whole thing, you would think. So, it's and then my connection to the communion aspect of it, because that was kind of my overall thing, is I wanted to introduce what we're going to be doing here soon, starting in September.
Yep.
Is
Do you remember
the seventh, eighth day? No, seventh. It'll be the seventh. Seventh day, September. We're gonna be doing communion every Sunday.
We will be doing communion on the 21st of September.
Yeah.
You will.
Oh yeah, the 21st. It won't be the 21st night though. Be the 21st morning. I if anybody wants to come on the 21st night, maybe I'll open up the sacristy. We can share a little sacrament there. But anyway, the way I sort of brought it home is that, you know, what are these places where everybody can feel welcome? What would that look like? What would that feel like? Well, we have an example at our table,
right,
where everybody has the same share. Yep. Everybody has the, you know, equal place. There's no place of honor. And I said this in my sermon, the only place of honor is Christ. You know, Christ is the one lifted up in this meal. There's no head of the table. There's no, you know, if anything, it would just be Christ. We all come to the table, you know, as beggars. That was Luther's last words before he died, is we are beggars. And I think this is maybe what he was thinking, is we all approach the table with our hands cupped like little beggars, like, give me a little piece, a little piece of something.
Yeah.
We all get the same amount, little piece of bread, little wine. Like I said, there's no Chateau Margaux for the biggest donor in the room. It's not like we break out the good stuff.
If
the bishop comes in, you know, on Sunday, it's like, no, it's all the same.
Well, it's not the bishop. It's not the pastors who say the words. Like, the only reason we say the words is for just someone has to do
Somebody has to do it.
Of the church. Like, that
we
was
don't have the magic hands or whatever. But that's,
we joke about the magic hands, but that's not really a thing. It just,
so I said I wasn't going to get into the theological communion of both kinds, but maybe I will, because there was a controversy in the church and something that Luther argued against, because in Luther's day, the priesthood were the only that received the wine in communion.
Right.
There was bread and there was wine in communion. Priests got to drink the wine, the people just got bread. So they didn't get communion in both kinds. So that was a big thing that Luther argued. The people should get communion in both kinds. So everybody should get the bread and the wine. It's not true communion if we're not getting both. You know, what are we doing? And so that was something even in the church where we had this hierarchy very clearly displayed.
The church
of
loves
like
a hierarchy.
Oh yeah, we love a hierarchy. Yeah, the priests get their own special place. They get their own special thing. Yeah. I mean, even still, it's like we get our own special clothes. It's like we're special set-apart people.
Like,
yeah, pulpit where I get to stand up away from everybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are these hierarchies still in place, even though we preach against it. We're human, after all.
But there, I mean, you can look at both sides of that, too, to say that there's just practical. It is nice to wear the robes so people know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It
we're
is
easily
nice
identifiable.
To stand in the pulpit so people can see easily.
Yeah, because you're at
like,
an elevated place.
Yeah.
If people are reading lips because they're hard of hearing, they can see me clearly. Yep. I'm not down low. For practical reasons, I need a place to put all my papers, you know. And
set
my things down. And also, it's nice to have a little thing to sort of hide behind a little bit. It feels like a little shelter in there. I'm like a little bit separated. For my anxious self, I can be like, I'm in my own little thing.
And I get claustrophobic in there.
And you do, so you've got to walk around a little bit.
Me and my overstimulated issues.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So the communion table can be that place where we can strip all that away, the richest and the poorest among us, The cool kids table and the outcast table and whoever, they all come to the table the same way.
Right.
They all receive the same share. We're all fed, we're all welcomed, and then we all can go out in the world. And we should do likewise as equal members of the body of Christ. But do we do that? And then another sort of connection I made about, you know, this is a place where we can all feel welcome as, and we can all feel safe is, I felt like I had to say something after the shooting that happened last week.
Yeah.
And as we're going into this school year and as we're talking about these places where we should feel safe, you know, if even a place of worship, you know, the shooting happened at a school, yes, but it also happened in the sanctuary.
Right.
Where they were gathered, those children were gathered for a welcome to school mass. You know, if we can't even feel safe in our places of worship, if even those places aren't safe, where nobody feels safe, you know, the cool kids and the outcasts alike in a space like that, nobody's safe, you know, when just everybody's being indiscriminately targeted, it's just heartbreaking. What do we do? So I had to bring that up as well, but it's hard.
I don't know.
It's just, there's so much has been said.
This
past week. I don't know what to add to it besides just sighs too deep for words.
It felt extra scary that it was at a place of worship.
Yep.
And that, well, again, that they were children.
Yep.
Again, that school is supposed to be one
a
of
safe
the safest
place.
Places.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think church, school, you know, these are supposed to be safe places.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't happen, but it did. And it seems to continue to happen unless we make some changes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who's going to do that. I've got ideas, but no one seems to want to do anything. You know?
Well, they're working.
I hope so.
Hopefully.
I sure hope
it.
So.
There were rumors of a special session.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope.
Congress. And what the problem, too, though, well, we don't need politics, but, like, just the problem with these made-up boundaries of states is that the states making their own laws about things doesn't really matter.
If it's not a federal ban,
right.
It's like someone can just cross a state border and doesn't really matter. But at least it's a start, maybe. I don't know. Because, I'm... You know, and a lot of people have said this week, too, but it's like, yes, thoughts and prayers, let's do that also. Let's have some action here, because we're here to share our thoughts and prayers. That's literally what we're doing here in church. But, you know, we also are empowered by the Spirit to go out and do something in the world to make it real. So maybe there's something we can do. I don't know.
Those things are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thoughts and prayers and the, you know, policy and action need to be one.
Yeah.
That it's not an either or.
Yeah. They should be the same. They should,
They should be the same thing. It's not an and.
Right.
It's a, like, the prayer is the doing something.
Right.
That is the action of it.
Right.
Maybe this is a sermon series for a later day or whatever. Of, like, prayer in the words and the, you know, God knows my heart and all of that is just nothing. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
The prayer is in the action, in the service, in the vote that you have, in the, in the moving and getting out, you know, I've heard people talk about prayer in their cooking and their baking and, like, the action of that. Like, the way that you move your body is the actual.
Yeah. Luther said, pray without ceasing.
And
that's praying without ceasing, is just keeping it in everything you do.
Yeah.
That's part of it. There's also that quote that's, you know, preach the gospel and when necessary use words. Because that's also true. Like, just preach the gospel in your everyday life. And that's part of it. So, thoughts and prayers, obviously. And there's more to it, that because that's all of it.
Do you remember the commercial that went out a few years ago of like about, you know, policy in action or whatever. Some group, it was Moms Against Gun Violence or something like that. And it was, it's not even funny, but a kid falls in a pool and is, you know, drowning, right?
Yeah.
And like one by one, adults come around and they say, oh, thoughts and prayers. Yeah. And they sit next to the pool. And then the next one, thoughts and prayers and sits next to the pool.
Right.
And sits next to the, like, and
it's a good
it
metaphor.
It was such a powerful, like, yeah, emotional thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, I made a couple notes about, I'm going to totally switch.
Good.
Because otherwise I'm going to cry. Here we go.
I don't know about that. All right.
You don't know about that.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
The other day I was with some friends at the state fair.
Yeah.
And we were saying goodbye to one of our friends who's leaving. He moved to South Dakota to go to a different church. And I go, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom and cry. And and one of our friends is like, really? Like so sad for me. And someone else was like, oh, that was a very normal statement.
Yeah, that's
just like,
that's just something Dana does. Yeah, that's not, don't worry. This is just like a Tuesday for Dana.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I know, like, yeah, I was like, that was very normal. Mm-hmm. Okay, just.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, wait, I am going to go back for 1 second.
Okay.
Our gospel acclamation.
Yes.
Of Lord, listen to your children praying.
Oh, yeah.
That got me a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw me tear up at that, but that one was tough.
I didn't, but yeah, that was also, that hit me too
that,
this Sunday too.
Yes. So,
listen to your children praying. I know.
That.
It's powerful.
Ooh, yeah, that was a good one. Okay. Mm-hmm. In the gospel, in the Luke passage, right at the beginning, on one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely.
Mm-hmm.
I find that so funny.
Yep.
Of the Pharisees watching.
Yeah. They were working to entrap him in something already.
Well,
at this 14th chapter. They were working. They were like, we got to get this guy on something.
Well, they were watching through their own lens and their own, right? Like, they weren't watching.
What can we catch him
to
on?
See what good Jesus was going to do.
No.
They had this pre-distinguished, like, he will do something bad. How can we watch for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and yeah, like.
They were primed to see some wrong.
They were.
Something.
And I don't know. Like, maybe that's an angle that could have been taken in a sermon like this, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how are we watching things
for
the worst case scenario.
For the bad instead
of the
good.
For the bad. For the, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, those outcasts deserve to be outcasts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because they, whatever.
Yeah. That's the false witness commandment, right? Is that you're supposed to think and speak of your neighbor in the best possible way.
Right.
In all
right.
things.
Right.
Even your worst enemy. Even when they do you wrong.
Yeah.
If you're following the seventh commandment, you should go, okay, where, maybe what were they trying to do in a positive way for me, you know? And that's hard to do, and none of us do it perfectly. But that's how are we very, very much, almost always primed to look at people in the worst possible light. Of like, I'm watching them to make sure that, you know, they're going to do something wrong.
They're going to mess something up.
They're going to mess something up, and I'm going
to
catch them.
I'm
going
to be the first one to report it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
We all do that in our own way.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And to not have high expectations of people, to not see people in the best light. To,
And they were trying to do this
listen.
To him. And
like,
that's what the healing on the Sabbath, you preached on that last week.
Yeah.
You know, the question of paying taxes. They're, Jesus is going to go through a gauntlet in these final chapters of Luke. Of the Pharisees trying to find ways to catch him doing something wrong so they can convict him of something and hopefully have him killed, which, as we know,
they
successful.
Well, and just what a contrast it is that they're watching him closely.
Mm-hmm.
They're not listening to him.
No,
they're
watching. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they're just waiting for something bad.
So,
they're not looking for the good at all.
I don't know. Okay, then continues.
Whoa,
so here's,
great point, Dana.
Yeah,
you deserve that one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy.
Yeah.
And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? This is my, I think this is sassy Jesus.
Oh, for sure.
And like, Oh, this guy? Hey, yeah. Guys.
What do you think?
Is it lawful to cure him or not?
And check this out. Bam! Cured. Yeah, for sure. That's absolutely what he's doing. Because this comes off the heels of your reading for last week, which was the healing on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath.
Now, in the lectionary, that portion is cut out. It goes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it starts with that first verse of Jesus was on the occasion of going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees.
Yep.
And they were watching him closely. And then it skips to the when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor. So
interesting.
It skips over that. I decided to leave it in because I don't.
Well, it connects to last week.
I think it connects to last week. I don't like cutting verses out. If possible, there are situations where it's like, yeah, cut that out because that goes on a tangent that doesn't really fit with whatever the theme of that Sunday is. But when possible, I try to leave the whole pericope, using a seminary word.
Pericope.
So I just left it in. But yeah, an interesting sassy Jesus moment where, yeah, he goes, what? You didn't like when I healed on the Sabbath last time?
Yeah.
Do you think I should do it to this guy? Because guess what? I'm going to do it anyway. Bam! Healed. And then his dropsy's gone. Dropsy. Another one of those biblical terms
that
we don't
have. Yeah, so Jesus took him and healed him.
Yeah, he has some sort of edema. He's got like swelling in his extremities. That's what dropsy is. It's one of those Bible words that... what? Oh, yeah. Yes. Plots and prayers. What else you got?
I just think Jesus is funny sometimes.
Yeah. Jesus is very funny. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of Jesus being very funny. And this is one of them where you can see him being like, what do you think? Will I do it? I'm going to do it anyway.
Yep.
Bam.
Well, in this in there, but they were silent. Okay, anyway, the other thing that you touched on just for a second, but when you're invited, this is later in the passage, but when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher.
Mm-hmm.
I got lost. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. That is not the verse that I wanted to read.
Oh, but
it
is a
verse.
Verse.
Yes,
that's a
verse.
It's
not the one that I wanted to read. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place.
Yeah.
This like, shame that would come along with, like, well, I'm going to sit here, and a host has to come along and be like, actually, you're not at the head table.
Yeah.
You're at table 34.
Yeah, you're way in the back. Yeah, and I guess there's ways we can relate to it in our day, but it does feel sort of like antiquated when Jesus is talking about it. Because like when would I be in a situation where someone would tell me like you're in the wrong spot? But then again, there are places where we have table spots assigned, like a wedding or. I don't know, even like a family gathering. Do you have somebody in your family who has like a spot at their table?
No.
Yeah. Well, there are occasions where there's somebody with
a
spot.
We don't have
a
kids table anymore either. We're like, sit wherever.
Kids table is back in my family, but that's because we got a lot of little kids where it's like, go make your messes over there.
I mean, when we were growing up, we had a kids table. But now.
So yeah, that passage of like, wow, what a shameful thing.
Well, here's what I thought about though.
Scoot down.
Maybe the host not asking you, but like I don't know, maybe the example of like being on the subway or the bus and someone needs a seat and you've taken a seat
that you're not entitled to.
And you could stand, but someone else, you know, would need that more than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't live in a city with public transportation, so
no.
That's not us. No. But that was maybe what I was thinking about, of this like everyone around you kind of knows like you should stand up.
Right.
I Met Your Mother scene of that. Remember this?
No, I don't.
After Barney runs the marathon.
Yeah.
And he can't stand up. His legs
don't work. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And then on the subway walks like a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
And someone on crutches. Mm-hmm. And like.
And he has
and
to
everyone,
just sit there.
Well, everyone looks around and is like,
what's
aren't
this?
You going to get up?
Yeah, young guy.
He can't. But,
no, he can't. Yeah. So
which
he
is a
feels
whole
that
other
shame.
Conversation about visible ableism.
Yeah, for sure. But then,
invisible
yeah, so
disabilities,
that's,
but you know,
that's
whatever.
A visible
but
sort of version of what
version.
I was talking about earlier about the places of privilege. That's one right there,
right.
But it's very visible who's differently abled or disabled to where they need a spot. And yeah, you can be humble enough to get up and offer your spot to somebody who needs it.
But I think the point maybe too with the disgrace or the shame that Jesus is talking about is that other people recognize this hierarchy.
Like, oh my gosh.
It might be you, it might be you within yourself feeling a disgrace or a shame that someone came to tell you you were wrong.
Right.
But it takes the people around you too.
Right.
To, like, this is the community aspect of this.
Yeah.
Of, like, when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, maybe you deserve a little bit of disgrace.
Yeah,
like,
maybe you
that's
deserve
kinda
a little
what,
kick.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the, like, maybe the host should come over and be like, stop it. Like,
yeah.
Maybe someone should
what
come
are you
over
doing?
And be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
why do you think you deserve the spot at the head of the table?
This is the village part of, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Making each other better.
Right.
And not in, like, a terrible, bad way, but a, like...
Yeah. Be humble enough to, like, help your neighbor take out their garbage.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I don't touch garbage. It's like, come on. If we're a part of this community...
Keep my side of the street.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Let's be a part of this together. You know, be humble enough to do the work. Be a villager.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody wants to live in a village. You know, everybody wants the village. Not a lot of people want to be a villager. And part of being a villager is being humble enough to do the work.
Yep.
To be uncomfortable, to do something you're not super jazzed about because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then, in this, I just heard the Magnificat all over.
It's always, it always comes back to the Magnificat.
And the Magnificat has so much interesting history of where it's been banned and where, you know, in...
Interesting,
In regimes that
woke Mary...
Yeah,
I'm sick of that woke Mary
and
preaching about the high being made low. Yeah, and that is Luke.
Right, yes.
If you're not reading Luke with the words of the Magnificat ringing in your ears, you're not really reading it right, because Luke always goes back to this theme of a radical reversal of the world. The radical reversal of the high
the
being made low,
be put in,
being welcomed into a place of honor.
Yeah.
You know, the rich being sent away empty, the poor filled with good things. Like, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
That's what Luke always gets back to. That, you know, so, there will come a time when these roles will be reversed. Yeah. So Jesus is saying, go sit in the low places and be with those people there, because the times they are changing. You know. So,
I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah. That's plenty.
It was good. There was a lot to preach on this weekend.
Yeah.
And then
there was a lot.
To go from this passage to another school shooting tragedy.
Right. It was tough.
I don't want to be numb to school shooting.
No.
Mass shooting tragedies. And yet, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And, like, I just remember... I remember Parkland really clearly, that one felt really heavy. And that's when I was working with high schoolers.
Yeah.
And that was so...
You were feeling it right in your backyard.
That was right there.
Gosh. So, there was a lot. So I wrote this sermon on Tuesday, and I was like, done and dusted. It's printed. It's on my desk. I'll be ready for Sunday. No problem. This is awesome. And I already felt like, I'm doing a lot with, like, bringing this text and talking about communion. And I'm like, I don't know. And then Wednesday happened. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say nothing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I've been writing sermons Saturdays. So.
Probably a good idea. I know, I shouldn't do that.
It's not a great idea, because it's not the best. Well, whatever. It happens.
It's hard. You got to live in the times, right? You got to preach to what the people are going through. And, if you have a bunch of canned sermons, like, it's not going to work. People aren't going to be able to relate to it.
People can go...
There's plenty of canned sermons.
Sermon,
absolutely.
From 1995, if you want to. But, like,
lots
that's
of resources
not where we're
there.
Living.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We got to talk about what's actually going on. And as breaking news happens every day, it seems like it just feels safest to write sermons on Saturday.
Yeah, wait till Saturday, because there's going to be something that happens on Friday night that you're going to need to get to on Sunday morning or whatever.
Yeah, I know. Or Saturdays. There have been a lot of news on Saturdays.
I know. Yeah, try to hide it on Saturdays.
Rock chalk, baby.
That was not the place for that.
Wasn't it? I don't know. Rock chalk. So, thank you for listening.
We got long. Sorry.
We have. Well, remember the first little bit is me testing mics and whatnot. But anyway, Thank you for listening.
Don't they want to hear that?
Don't want to hear me going like, why isn't this working?
One, two.
This chord doesn't work.
And then we recorded all of our things.
And
sorry.
Then we recorded
thank
all
you
of
for
these.
Coming.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Anyway. Thank you for listening to Continuing Conversations. If you have something you'd like to bring to this discussion, please call in, drop by church, send us an email. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this sermon, this passage, this text, whatever you want to say. We're here to listen. So thank you for being a part of this. We will see you next week. We're going to start a new sermon series. So
woo-hoo!
Get ready. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye, everybody.